It is Father's Day, and I realized after I had the call for everybody to greet one another that that was the one thing that was still on my fingers to remember to say, Happy Father's Day. And as it is Father's Day, I wanted to share with you a story about a father. I read it this week, and it really was amazing to me. It's a true story about a father from England, and it happened in 2012. His name is George Tyson, and George Tyson was a carpenter as well as a father, and he had a daughter and a son. The son's name was Gary, and Gary was disabled because when he was about 18 months old, he had a fall, and that fall damaged his brain, and so he was very close with his father and still lived with his father at 32 years old. His father was 61, and they were strolling along together along the coastal road there in their town, as they often did. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were coming to an intersection, and they were walking along, and George saw out of the corner of his eye a car that was coming toward them. And as he saw that car, he had one gut reaction, and that one gut reaction was to push Gary out of harm's way. The car struck George and killed him instantly. His daughter said this, "My dad died doing the thing he loved the most. He was walking with my brother. Most people will know him through the care and help he has shown my brother. And most people will have at some point seen them pacing through town on their many missions." What on earth would make a person sacrifice his own life for his son? Love. Paul says in the letter to the church at Corinth that it is the love of Christ that compels us. It is the love of Christ that controls us. That kind of love that causes us to sacrifice for others. Paul is continuing here, you know, the story, because this is our third week in 2 Corinthians. He is continuing to help them understand that he's not doing things out of his own selfish motivations. That the reason that he is coming to Corinth and teaching and preaching, and the reason that he is concerned about the church at Corinth isn't for his own gain, but because of God's love for them. And that love compels him. He's not in ministry for himself. He is an apostle not because he chose to do it, but because God chose him. And his actions are determined by the love of Christ. And Paul says that we are all ambassadors of Christ. Now, an ambassador is an interesting position. Ambassadors get sent to speak and to act on behalf of an authority. We are sent to speak and to act on behalf of Christ. That's a little bit sobering, isn't it? A little bit frightening. I was asked when I was just out of seminary what was one area that I was most reticent to lead in the church. And I had a really, really easy time answering that. Evangelism. Because for years, I called it the E word. That E word. I don't do that E word. I didn't study that E word. I intentionally didn't take any classes in seminary on evangelism because I am no evangelist. I knew for sure that was not my calling. And so after many years in ministry, I got assigned to teach a class on faith sharing. And I thought, well, this will be good. Because here's the thing, I don't do that either. So I'm going to teach other people how to do something that I don't do. And so I did what all good Presbyterians do when they get assigned to do something they don't know how to do. I started studying. And I read and I read and I read about evangelism. And as I read, I learned something very important. That because I think of our culture and my preconceived notions about what evangelism is, I learned that I did know how to share my faith. That faith sharing and teaching faith sharing wasn't about helping people come up with their stump speech. It wasn't about having something memorized that you said to people. I realized that I may not be an evangelist as some in our culture might define it, but I am an ambassador for Christ. And you are ambassadors for Christ. And I think sometimes, I know I do, and I have, I've acted a little bit like this guy Hobbes. And I don't know if this is a true story or not. But Hobbes worked for a duke and a duchess. And one day the duchess engaged Hobbes in a conversation about his job performance. And she said, "Hobbes, you have been in our employ for 35 years. And he said, "That's correct, ma'am." "Well, Hobbes, what has been your primary responsibility in all of those years?" "Taking care of the family dog." "Hobbes, according to our records, the family dog died 27 years ago." "Yes, ma'am," said Hobbes, "and I would like to know what you would have me do now." Here's the thing. We all have a tendency to hesitate, don't we? And maybe even hope we don't get asked about it when it comes to evangelism. Maybe it's that we're a little bit self-conscious about what people are going to think about us if we let Jesus control our lives. Or maybe we're worried that we're not really prepared to be ambassadors for Christ. I mean, aren't those like some kind of holy people that we don't really know? What do those people look like? Maybe we're thinking, "I just don't quite have the training I need. If they offered the training, then I would do it. I surely would. But here's the thing. The training was offered on Tuesday night, and every Tuesday night I take a bath whether I need to or not." Right? Our insecurities get the best of us. And I don't know all the answers. And the truth is, you won't know all the answers. And "I don't know, but let's try to find out together" is an okay answer. Sometimes we tell ourselves, "I don't know enough about the Bible, but I don't know, and let's try to find the answer" is an okay answer. And sometimes we tell ourselves, "I don't even know what I believe about things." And that's okay, because we're all on a journey, and we don't have all of our minds made up about everything that we believe. And some things that we believe now, in 10 years, we're going to look back and go, "Really? I understand it so differently now." Sometimes we think, I wouldn't even know what to say. But the reality is, we have conversations every day. And sometimes we think, "I haven't ever written down my faith story." But the truth is, nobody is going to ask you for a copy of it. The early church didn't see evangelism as a chore. It wasn't a committee. It wasn't a task list. They weren't like Hobbes, hoping that nobody was ever going to ask them what they did. I like the way that Harold DeWolf, who was a professor of systematic theology, once put it. He said, "The New Testament church engaged in evangelism as naturally and as normally as a robin sings or a happy child plays." The New Testament church engaged in evangelism as normally and as naturally as a robin sings or a happy child plays. When the love of Christ controls us, we anticipate eagerly our opportunities to show love. We're looking for our opportunities to be graceful. You just keep your eyes open. Most people discover Christ's love when they experience it. It might be at the grocery store. You might be coming out and you see a mom there, and she's got twins in her basket, and they're buckled in, and she's got a basket full of groceries, and the twins are helping each other unbuckle and climb out of the basket as she's trying to load the car. You could be an agent of grace there. You could help. It might be that coworker that you see sit at his desk day after day and eat his lunch there and hardly talk to anyone. You could invite him out. You could have lunch with him. Look around. Slow down. Share your time. Connect. Over time, conversations will include things that matter to you, like the love of Christ controlling you. National statistics say that 40 to 60% of people in most communities don't have a church relationship. And in Germantown, that statistic is around 45%. Most people have a few close friends, and then they have kind of a circle of acquaintances. But most people don't know the difference that a Christian community can have in your life. When you experience tragedy or illness or death, lots of people don't have a pastor to call or a church that will surround them and support them, bringing casseroles and offering prayers. They don't have a community that encourages them to find a place of service, to take risks to love other people, to practice generosity. They don't have a community that helps them live with purpose in a fellowship of people who really care about each other. Love is a transforming force. Not might, not authority, not fear or power or coercion or cajoling. Love. N.T. Wright says that the logic of love outweighs all other logic known to the human race. George Tyson's love for his son outweighed all other logic. He pushed his son out of the way of the car, and he lost his own life. That last act of love is certainly powerful. But his love didn't go unnoticed that fateful day. The mayor of their town said, "The news is dreadful, and everyone is incredibly shocked. George's son, Gary, is an incredibly charming young man, and he had a very close relationship with his dad. His dad was with him whenever I saw him." A local commissioner said, "George spent a lot of time with Gary. You could see them going for walks. They had a closeness, and he is going to really feel it because he spent a lot of time with his dad." Just the way that George walked through his life with Gary was a witness to the power of love. Paul says that it's the love of Christ that compels us, that motivates us, that controls us, urging all people, everybody we come in contact with as ambassadors of Christ, to be reconciled. New creation is connected for Paul to reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled with one another. We are united in Christ. This morning at 10 Eastern time, all over Charleston, church bells rang. They rang because one person's act of hatred in a church did not incite racial war. The faith of one of the victim's husbands was obvious in his statement to the shooter. "I would love to hate you, but hate's not in me." What an ambassador for Christ, controlled by Christ's love. The message of Christ's life, Christ's death and resurrection, is the message of redemption. God reconciles through Jesus to transform the world because of God's love. and we are ambassadors of this message. God is using us to make God's love known, to transform the world. May the kingdom of God come, and may we be the ambassadors. Amen.